Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Brett Walker, and this is Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. Well, we've been looking at what the gospel is, and we get that the gospel is the good news. But sometimes in order to understand the good news, we first have to hear the bad news. Today, as we continue our look at the gospel in one verse, we are going to see why the bad news is really bad and how that makes the good news that much better. John chapter 3, the title of the message today is The Gospel in One Verse. We're going to see exactly what the gospel is and how to find it in full in this one verse. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, the question before us today is this: who do you say that Jesus is? In our secular society, we want to sort of clip the wings of Jesus. We don't necessarily want him to be God Almighty. We want him to be a great teacher. We want him to be a great prophet. Jesus is so much more than that. Jesus, talking to the Jews, said, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." So he's declaring there that God is his Father. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He's not talking about his existence. He's not talking about his eternal existence. He is equating himself to the I am of the Old Testament. He didn't simply say that he was the Son of God. He claimed to be I am. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses met God in the burning bush, and Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And then he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." It's the name of God. No person, no good teacher, no prophet could make that claim unless he truly were. And so if Jesus is not I am, then he also is not a good teacher. He is also not a prophet because he declares an untruth. But if Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is I am, then he is not just a good teacher. He is not just a prophet. He is God Almighty. Jesus was both fully God and fully human in one divine being. He wasn't either or. He wasn't only human or only God. He also wasn't part God and part human. He was fully God, fully human in one divine being. In the first chapter of John, he starts out with this word. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made.
Jesus, along with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, is the Creator. So when he says, I am, he means, I am. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Because Jesus was lifted up on a pole too. And whoever looks to him when they're bitten by sin, they shall live. They shall live. We have to look to Jesus. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. We don't earn it. We can't work at it. It's something that God gives us for free. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent, that whoever looked at it would live, so the Son of Man, Jesus, must also be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And now we come to John 3:16. The entire gospel in one verse. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's what the good news is. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God. God exists. Do you know that? God exists. Science keeps trying to explain God away. Say, we don't need him. I believe the first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created it. And so, God exists. Everything was made by him. All of creation screams out, there is a creator. So, for God means that God exists. For God so loved. God loves. God is love. Did you know that? God is love. It means that the essence of love is God. And when we love, we are expressing God to one another. The essence of love is God. And we're talking about agape. It's that divine love. Perfect and perfecting. A love that gives and asks nothing in return. For God so loved the world. God loves the whole world. It's his creation. It's the work of his hands. And he loves it with an undying love. For God loved, so loved the world, that, what? He gave. He gave. God is a giver. God gives to us. God provides for us. God made everything, and so everything is his, which means that anything that you have in your possession belongs to God and was given to you by God. Everything. So everything that we have is a gift from God. God gives it to us, including the gift of eternal life. So for God so loved the world that he gave, what? His only begotten Son. Jesus, the only Son of God, begotten, not made. God placed Jesus in the womb of Mary. And so she is favorite of God, and she was the vessel for carrying and giving birth to Jesus, but none of her DNA was in him. She was like a surrogate. In Luke chapter 1, the angel of God said to Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. God's only begotten Son. God gave the greatest thing that He could give. He's given us life. He's given us breath. He's given us everything to sustain us. And then God gave His only Son, whom He loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, God accepts whosoever comes to Him freely. You might think, no, not me. I've done some really bad things. You don't know the things that I've done. Well, let me tell you something. You could peer into my soul and see some really dark blackness, okay? Alcoholism, drug abuse, and adultery, and cheating, lying, stealing, divorce, all of that in my past until I gave my life to Christ. And am I perfect today? I'll tell you quite honestly, I sinned on the way over here. I was doing like 65 on the road trying to get here on time. You know? But whoever comes to God, He doesn't turn anyone away. Anyone. Because it's a free gift. So whosoever believes, it's the one requirement of us, is our belief. We must believe that Jesus died for our sins. Romans chapter 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So what do we have to believe? We have to believe in Him. In Him. In Jesus. Jesus is the only way to God. And that's an offensive statement. It's the offense of the gospel. But we should not be offended that there is only one way to God. We should be amazed that there is a way at all. After everything that we did when we turned away from God, we should be amazed that God gave us a way. Instead of being stupefied that there's only one way. But Jesus tells us, He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. So we have to come to Jesus. It's a requirement to believe in Him. And those who believe in Him, we're told, should not perish. Jesus saves us from death. Death entered into the world with the first sin, and Jesus restores us to God's original creation by removing death from the equation. When Jesus met Martha outside the tomb of Lazarus, He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Listen to that. Whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. That means we as Christians, we don't die. And I know what you're saying. Well, I've been to funerals. I've seen the body in the casket. I've scattered the ashes to the wind. I know that that person was dead. Our body dies. And when our body dies, we go to live forever in glory with God. We don't die. We live. We live forever. That's the promise of Jesus. He says we will have eternal life. The promise of God is that we will never die and that we will spend eternity with Him. And why? Because He loves us, and it breaks His heart to be apart from Him, so He draws us to Him. So there's the good news in one verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Now I got to tell you the bad news. Because in order to really appreciate how good the good news is, we have to fully understand what the bad news is. Okay? You know the stories, the jokes. You know, good news and bad news. Guy's in a hospital with two broken legs, and a nurse comes in and says, I have good news and bad news. The guy says, well, tell me the bad news first. She says, we're going to have to amputate both your legs. Oh, no, that's horrible. So what's the good news? She says, the guy in the next bed wants to buy your sneakers. Is this on? I didn't promise they're all good. It's okay to laugh in church. It's also okay to laugh at the preacher. I won't quit my day job. Well, the bad news is we're all sinners. We're all sinners. In the book of Revelation, we find out that sinners spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's the bad news. That's what we deserve. In Romans chapter 3, it says, none is righteous, no, not one. And it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. Nobody is exempt. Everyone. We're all sinners. Every one of us. And as sinners, we are separated from the life-giver God, and so we are destined to die. Genesis chapter 2, we see the separation between God and man. When God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam ate the fruit. He didn't die on that day, but death entered into the world because he separated himself from the life giver, God. He turned his back on God, and so he lost that connection to the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life is in him. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So when we work at something, we earn death. But now the good news. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God reconciles us to himself in his Son. The only thing we have to do is to believe in him. So what do you say about Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? It's the most important question you'll ever answer. God did the hard part. And all we have to do is to believe. And some people, I've had conversations with people, boy, I wish I could believe. You know, I wish I had faith. You know, like it's something that we could have, like a, you know, we want to change our hair color, you know? Or I wish I was taller, like my brother-in-law is like 6'4" and he can reach the stuff on the top shelf, you know? I wish I was taller, okay? But faith is not like that. Faith is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's free to come. God gives us the faith we need to believe, and all we have to do is make the decision, and he does the rest. It's a leap of faith. All we have to do is say, yes, I'm willing to believe, and God does the rest. He fills your heart with the faith of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. And the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So today's the invitation. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. And if you haven't let him in, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've given your life to Jesus, but you feel like you've been wandering and straying farther away. Well, today's the day to turn back, open the door of your heart, and invite Jesus in. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful word. that whoever believes in your Son Jesus will not die but have everlasting life. What an amazing promise. We claim that promise today. We reach out to you. Through time in memoriam, we reach out to you for the thing that you did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ. You lifted him up on that pole, and now we look to him so that we may live. And if you feel like you've been wandering, or if you feel like you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray a prayer with me right now. Just say these words in your heart, because we have to admit our sin. We have to believe in Jesus as our Savior and commit to being his. So just pray this prayer with me now. Father, I know that I have broken your laws, and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. And now I want to turn away from my past sinful life toward you. Please forgive me and help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, maybe for the first time, maybe to renew your faith in God, I want to welcome you to the family of Christ and know that he is the way and the truth and the life, and that we will not perish but have everlasting life.
Well, this concludes our look at the gospel in one verse, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn gathers together at 9 a.m., and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Now, if you made a decision to give your life to Christ as a result of listening to today's message, I'd love to hear from you. Just email me at PastorBrettUMC@gmail.com. That's PastorBrettUMC@gmail.com. I have some free resources I'd love to send you as a new believer in Christ. Keep listening. Keep growing. And I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.